I think what we'll do is we'll finish off the shiur. In other words, do this shiur, and then if you have any questions from last week, I'll stay as long as necessary to answer all your questions at the end. So I'd like to finish this shiur, and then we'll carry on. Any questions at all from last week, anything at all, I'll stay after the shiur. This section is not in halacha. It's more suggestions. As you see on the sheet, suggestions and advice when the going gets tough. Ideas which I hope will help you in Avodas HaTefillah. The first one. The heading says, ladies, snatch what you can. But let's go to A first, and then we'll come on to it. You are in the middle of davening Shemoneh Esrei. And you are towards the end. And you realize that you have done a miserable job. You didn't get very far in Kavona. So you can have the following thoughts. You can think to yourself, you can console yourself. Well, you know, I've never really been any good at davening, so this just reinforces the idea. I'm really not very good at it. Doesn't get you anywhere. Or you can have an idea of saying, it's the same thing, console, resignation. You know, it's just, I'm hopeless. I'm not good at davening, and I'm not made to daven, so it doesn't really go for me, this mitzvah. Or you can have another feeling. You can think to yourself that I feel terrible. I feel every time I daven, I walk away a miserable person because I have such remorse and regret that I just can't do a good job. That also doesn't get you anywhere. Or you can turn around and say, like an optimist, and say, well, let's forget about it. Let's forget about it. Every time you daven, you can't just turn around and say, let's forget about it. It's not going to work, that sort of approach. I suppose, worst of all, supposing you're in Rosh Hashanah, on the Musaf of long Rosh Hashanah of Musaf, and you're halfway through or three quarters of the way through, and you still, even then you didn't feel that you did a good job, and you panic, and you say, Oyvei, what's going to be with me? What? All these responses are all mistaken, for one reason. And what I mean by the acid test is, it doesn't help you. It doesn't get you anywhere. It's negative. It doesn't turn you around. I think there's only one thing which turns you around. One test. And I'd like to go back now to what we said, the lady snatch what you can. And I saw this idea in the Chofetz Chaim, in the Hakdomah to Shmiras Haloshen. He gives a moshul of a girl who is selling apples in a shuk, in a market. It's the whole parnosa she has, a young girl. And two or three boys come along, and they decide that they're going to have a bit of fun with this girl. So one boy goes over to the girl and says to her, and how much will it cost if I buy 17 apples? She says, 17 apples, 1 minute to work it out. Oh no, I want 23 apples. 23, 1 second. And while she's trying to work it out, the other two snatch her apples. She doesn't realize it. She's with her back to the barrel. She doesn't realize it. She turns around and she sees what's happening. She screams out, Ganovim! Ganovim! A wise man walks past and says to her, lady, stop screaming. If they're chapping, you chap. Chap back! By the time you're going to finish screaming, all the apples will have gone. What you should do is snatch yourself. Just take what you can. Chofetz Chaim is a beautiful moshul. Chofetz Chaim gives that moshul in regard to when a person thinks about how much he keeps the mitzvah of Shemiras Haloshen. I just can't do it. It doesn't work for me. Says the Chofetz Chaim, so take an hour a day. Take 1 hour. Snatch what you can. Don't give up on the whole mitzvah. Try, if you can, to take an hour a day. It doesn't mean like from 3 o'clock in the morning to... Most of us don't have problems, unless you're talking in your sleep, but we don't have problems from 3 o'clock in the morning to 4 o'clock in the morning. It means like an active hour when you're with people. This hour, I'm going to be very careful. I can't do more than an hour. Say that, at least an hour. At least you have something for the mitzvah, otherwise the mitzvah's gone. When I saw that moshul, I thought to myself, maybe that can be lifted up and put into davening. Because what happens, and it happens so often, you suddenly reach Moedim and you see, well, I really didn't do a very good job. And you can get so down and so depressed, and you can console yourself, resign yourself, remorse, forget it. There's only one. Nothing else helps. Snatch what you can. Of course you realize davening is important. That's why you're davening. So to turn around and say it doesn't, of course it matters. It matters a great deal. But the most practical and positive approach, I thought, is this. So take what you can. Take Moedim. Maybe it's only Oise Shalom Bimraimov. I don't know. Maybe it's the last Pasuk. It's the last Pasuk. Nebuch. All right, but at least you get one Pasuk. Oise Shalom Bimraimov. Something. Take something. It's no good. Not if everything else, next time, of course, you'll do a try better job. But we're talking about B'Sha'as Maisa in the time of great stress. Take what you can. L'Maisa, it's a Gemara in Brachos, Daf Hei Omed Aleph. The Gemara says, Lo'oilam Yagiz Odom, the Chofetz Chaim brings this down in Shmiras HaLoshon, Lo'oilam Yagiz Odom Yetzer Tov Al Yetzer Hora. Lo'oilam Yagiz. One always has to be like alert, awake, and responsive. And the response has to be, I think, in davening, to take what you can, take as much as you can. I must say that if you're going to take anything at all, the most important thing to take is the first bracha. The first bracha in Shemona Esrei, Moedim as well after that, but the first bracha is le'ikuva, is lechatchila. One should not lose the first bracha. If you're going to be able to daven with kavon and really take your time, then you should do it in the first bracha, if you want to go slowly. Because the first bracha is the Iker bracha, the Iker of all. Shevach v'hoidah, and take your time over that. But if later, wherever you're up to, just think of one thing, and that le'olam yalgiz means that whatever you are, the Gaon says it also in Mishlei, Perek Kof Gimel, Posad Aleph, he brings it out in a Hezber as well, le'mashiv ha'ruach, to bring the ruach back into a scene. Take what you can, as much as you can, and next time you'll do a better job. It's an eitzah, it's a suggestion. Let's try the second one, a second suggestion which I hope will help you in the middle of davening Shemona Esrei. Another look at speed and pace. We mentioned previously in a shiur, we mentioned the beautiful Gemara of Rabbi Elezer and the Talmidim, when he told them quite clearly, once Moshe Rabbeinu davened for 40 days and 40 nights. Another time Moshe Rabbeinu said 5 words and it was all over. So we learn from that, Kel no afon no lo, once, short tefillah. Another time he took for over Cheta Egel, 40 days and 40 nights. We explained the Gemara where Rabbi Elezer turned around and said to the Talmidim, no. So did it take as long? Did it take as short as that? Length is not the Ikar. Length is not really. Focus. If the length helps you, then take your time. If it doesn't help you, then go faster. But to make it work, to be practical. We mentioned that as a point. But this time I'd like to go a little bit, not so much in halacha, but more, it's like a pace. You need a pace. Like a walker, a runner. If you go too fast, you get out of breath. If you go too slow, you get exhausted because you're just going too slow. I'll give you an example. Supposing we said that you have to get out of this room here, and you have to go to the bus stop on Rephaim. You have 1 minute to get there. It's too fast. I can't do it in 1 minute. It's a mad dash. It's too fast. If I turn around and say that you can only go 1 foot after the next, 1 foot after, it's too slow. Who can walk so slow? Pace is critical. And the pace is at personal discretion. However, whatever pace works for you, that's the way to do it. And I wrote down here, like a skillful orator, a really good speaker talks too fast, you can't understand, even though his words are so good and the content is excellent, he's talking too fast. And you can have a wonderful speaker and he talks so slow that you just fall asleep. It's no good. The pace will help you in this conversation here. Also, use commas. Most sidurim have commas there. For example, if you would say it like this, Mechalkel Chaim Bechesed. I don't know, to daven Shemona Esrei like that, I couldn't manage it. You need a phrase. Mechalkel Chaim Bechesed. Mechaye Meisim V'rachamim Rabim. So, it's commas turns it, most Siddurim have commas, phrases, and it helps enormously to have kavona once you have a pace. The pace will help you with the kavona. Maybe you'll go a bit slower, but the phrase and the commas and the way you put it all together, a melody, if it helps you, but you have to be careful, because if you're in a minyan and you start singing away and it's Shemana Esra, you're not going to be very popular. It's going to disturb people too much. And that's Aloch in Shulchan Aruch, that when you're davening Shemana Esrei, no one should hear you. We learn it from Chanah. Chanah medaberes al libo, that she whispered, but meaning no one could hear. You could see her lips were moving, but that's all. And when you daven Shemana Esrei, that's one of the most remarkable wonders about davening Shemana Esrei. The Medrash brings down in Shmuel Aleph that Chanah medaberes al libo, she whispered the words, but mamash, they couldn't be heard, and they're heard all the way up to the Kisei HaKavod. Mamash. Gets all the way up there. You don't have to scream. The Gemara says, and someone who davens with a loud voice is mikatne emuna, small emuna. Why? Because you don't think Hashem can hear you if you just whisper. It's not necessary to raise your voice. And it's a halacha that you're taking away someone else's Shemana Esrei if someone can even hear you. Whispering, even whispering is not good. It should be so quiet, but the lips must move. You must move the lips, but very, very quiet. But however, if, especially when it comes to like the Musaf of Rosh Hashanah or a davening where you know the Nusach or you put a melody to it and it helps you, so use a melody. If it's an aid, it's a suggestion, it might help you maybe to sing a bit. If you're by yourself, it's much easier because maybe you can hum a tune as you're davening. I've davened sometimes with Gedolim and they hum a tune. You can hear a hum, you can hear something with certain Gedolim I've heard. You can hear. There's a melody, there's a nusach, if you know the nusach of the tefillah, or Shoshana, Yom Kippur. It all, there are aids, commas and phrases and pace. These all hopefully help you a great deal. That's a second suggestion. Another look at speed and pace, but pace with a sensible pace, which you might have to speed it up sometimes. If you find you're dragging and you're spacing out, so speed up a bit. Speed the pace up. It helps you, and you're going to get more concentration. Then the focus is the ikka, not the length. The length is not the ikka. Number three. Three words which I put down, which are really the essence of how to say it. To articulate, to be coherent, and to be eloquent. Let's take each one. To articulate means to express the words like clearly to be said. Coherent means that they can be heard, they're understood, not, for example, joining words up. Each word has it's coherent as a word, as itself. And eloquent to say it as nice as you can. If you would go and speak to a king or a queen or a prime minister or president, you would talk as best as you can. Say the words nicely, but we learned that already last time. To say the words benachas should be said in a pleasant way. But I'd like to make a suggestion, which I have found. Number A, which helps a great deal. And I would suggest this is a lifetime guarantee. It always works in Shemana Esrei, always. If when you say the words, you open your mouth very wide. Don't worry about people looking at you. So it looks a bit strange, but most people don't stare at other people during Shemana Esrei. Who cares? It doesn't matter, especially if you're by yourself. But it works. If you open, mechalkel chayim b'chesed, it helps. It always helps. Because you are pronouncing very clearly. If you say the words and open up and articulate as best as you can, for me it helps always like that. Saying the words, you don't even have to go so slow, because once you're clearly expressing, one of the Gedolim, I remember I used to daven next to Rav Kreisworth, Zecher Tzadik Livrocha, in Har Nof, he would always articulate, tremendous articulation, he'd open his mouth wide when he said the words. It helps a great deal. Number B, this might help also to say the words, is to look at a loshen in the Bir Halacha. In Siman Kuf Aleph, the Chofetz Chaim brings down, you need here backing to the words. The words of Shemana Esrei are so, so precious. You might have mentioned it before, but it's kedai to look at again what he says. The Chofetz Chaim says in Bir Halacha, why is it that we daven in loshen Kodesh? It's much better not to daven in English or in any foreign language, but why in Hebrew? So the Chofetz Chaim says, "Ki loshon haKodesh yesh haSkulos Rabbos." There are many special treasures, mikol haLoshonos, from all other languages. Even if you don't understand it, Hebrew is much, much better. For who haLoshon shaKodesh Baruch Hu medaber im Neviyov? When Hashem spoke to a Novi, he spoke in Hebrew. Secondly, he brings Veloshan HaKodesh Nivro HaOlam. The world was created. Vayehi Or, Hashem said, Yehi Or. He said it in Hebrew. And also, began, third reason. Kishetiknu Anshei Knesset HaGdolah Nusach HaTfilah. This we should know, that when the Anshei Knesset HaGdolah, after Bayis Rishon, at the end of the first Beis HaMikdash, when the Anshei Knesset HaGdolah were delegated to create for us a substitute for the Korbanos, Unashalma Forim Sefosenu, the Novi says, that our lips are instead of the bulls. It's an incredible, unbelievable statement that instead of the whole avoid on the Beis HaMikdash, our words replaced them. They're a substitute for the korbanos. I once saw a maimo of Rabbi Yerucham. I think I might have mentioned it. Rabbi Yerucham said in some places even it's more powerful than a korban. You can't bring a korban if you do something on purpose. There's no korban for a mezid. You can daven if you do something on purpose. If you're in Alaska, you can daven to Hashem. You can't bring a korban only in one place. If you don't have a kohen, you can't bring a korban. You have to have a kohen. A Yisrael can't do it. You can do it yourself with tefillah. There are certain mitzvahs which tefillah has over it in some respects. But when the Anshei Knesset HaGdolah, when the men of the Great Assembly established this text that we have, Hayu Kufchakovsk, there were 120 Sekenim, Umehem Kama Nevi'im, and several of them were Nevi'im. Vehema Nimnu Al Kol Brocha B'Tei Boisecha, and they debated and they discussed every single word, different letters, with tremendous secrets behind the words. For example, if you would turn around and say in Shemani Esrei, Tishma Hashem l'koil shelonu, it would not work. You have to say Shema koileinu. Ah, it's the same thing. Tishma Hashem l'koil. No, you have to say Shema, you have to say it in those words. Ah, there's Nusach Eskenaz and Nusach Sfad. Eilu ve'eilu divrei Elokim chayim. That's the Masoiris. This is this way, this is that way. Oh, don't worry about that. The Nusach is a Nusach, like Beis Shammai, Beis Hillel. Don't worry about that. You have come from this school or from that school. That's not for us to discuss. But the text is Kodesh Kodoshim. U'kisha'onu oimim divrei me'eilu. When we say these words, Kilashoinom, as they wrote it, Shal Knesset HaGdolah, Av she'ein onu yoidim lechavein. We certainly don't know the power and the secrets which are behind the words. Mikol makoim, also lonu tefiloseinu kahoygen. It works. It works. Ki hatevois ba'atzmon poelin kedushoson lamala. The words are effective and make an impact in shamayim. Masha'ein kein kemishpalalim balaz, which is not the case if you daven in a foreign language. So you have to, the reason why I'm saying this is because this will help you to articulate, to be coherent, because if you suddenly realize, goodness me, this is the korban. This is not, I can't bring a korban chatos. I can't bring a korban shlamim. We don't have a korbanos and the avoider. And this is the substitute. These words in Shemoneh Esrei are a direct replacement for those words. So you'll be articulate, because each word is precious. And if you miss out a word, the whole thing is like it's like almost we can say the Koyein didn't do Zrika Saddam. You missed out something. If you miss out a syllable, if you miss out something, so the whole it's like you shoot a rocket up to the moon, and there were certain parts of the rocket which are missing. It says won't get there. It will go off because it needs to have that. Well, all the parts together will get that rocket to land where it needs to go, and that's the same thing with the words. You need the whole package. From beginning to end. I hope one day maybe we'll give a shiur. There's tremendous sodos which are behind the words. It's just one point which is a phenomenal point to bear in mind. There were, just as an idea, we went, Amitz Hashem, one day we'll have a whole shiur on this. There were 42 places that Klal Yisrael, from the time of leaving the Egyptian border until they crossed over the Yarden, there were 42 stations. It took 42 different stops to travel from Avdei Paroi to Avdei Hashem in Eretz Yisrael. 42 stations. The whole thing transferred with Matan Torah, that the Ramban brings down in Parshas Baaloscho, that each station had a specific Dauga of Aliyah, Some places it was a day, some places it was a year. Why did they stay in certain places a long time or a short time? To create a kedusha in that makom, and then you can move on. That's all it was for. Rav Yitzchak Mimolozhin brings down that the time period in each place was completely arbitrary. We had no idea how long it would be in each place, but it was al pi Hashem yachanu, al pi Hashem yisol. Each place had a specific time, and then they moved on. And sometimes they were in the most beautiful, idyllic place, and they had to move on. Sometimes in a terrible place, and they had to stay a desolate, wild place in the desert. They had to stay there. Each place, and eventually they arrived at a mokum of kedusha and entered into its 42 places. Shem Havaya is 42. Shem Hashem is 42. The davening that we have is structured in a way that there are many, many stations in our davening which have 42 in them. This number 42 is just to show you how careful the words are. 42 words in Kaddish. When you walk into a shul, why do you say Ma tovu ahalecha Yaakov, v'ani b'roiv chastecha v'vesecha, eshtacha v'alecha? 42 words in that. You go from the street into a makom kodesh. It's 42. Each Kaddish is a different darga. Avodas hanefesh, which is brachas and korbanos. Avodas haruach, which is psukei de zimra. Avodas haneshama, which is kriyashma and the brachas. And avodas shoyresh haneshama, ishmona esrei, which is the highest level. That's mamash, that's why you're completely quiet. Shmona esrei. You're no talking. No noise, no nothing. Just the neshama is talking to Hashem. Each one has a kaddish beforehand. 42 takes you. And believe it or not, there are 42 words in the first bracha until Mogen Avraham. 42. Each time it's lifting you up. It's like a whole ma'avar here, a whole transfer from choil into kodesh. And then you're there in the mokum of the Shechina. There, 42. 42 words in that first bracha, which takes you through. And there are many, many different ramazim in different places as well in davening, which we can't go into now. But there were sodos inside the davening. And that's really what they mean here when they say, even though Kishonu Aimim Ein Anu Yodim Lachavein, we don't know all these innuendos and nuances which are inside the davening, but each word is precious in the whole message, the 42, just in the first bracha alone. You miss out a word, you miss out the whole mahalach here, the whole binyan of going on. What's going on here? That's number C. Number B. Number C. I would like to take together number C and number D. In order to become articulate or to become eloquent in your davening, you must know where the tefillah is coming from. What's the shayresh? When an actor or a politician speak, the words are from the mind and the lips. They're very, very skilled at dramatizing a phrase because they think it out how it should be said. And then they eject the words with a great deal of drama and a lot of power. And that's the skill of a politician or an actor. When a person davens, it's not coming from a clever mind. It's coming from avodah shebalev, which is the heart, meaning the soul, the meaning. A politician and an actor never mean what they say. Of course they don't. It's just a traumatic recital which they're saying in order to impress. But when a person davens, it's coming from a much, much deeper source. You mean it. You mean the words. Ki shema koleinu, chus v'rachim oleinu, v'kabel. I mean it when I'm saying it. Since I mean what I'm saying, the words have a much more eloquence to them. They're dramatic words, but very truthfully dramatic words. Where are they coming from? Let me give you maybe a poem, which is a beautiful poem. I don't know who wrote it, but there's a beautiful tune to it which people sing, but it describes quite clearly what does it mean, the source of a tefillah, where it's coming from. Vilvovi mishkoin evne lahadar kavoidai. In my heart I will build a mishkan. In my heart lahadar kavoidai, to honor his glory. It's in my heart. Uve mishkan mizbeach osim. And I will, in the sanctuary, in the Mishkan that I will build, I will put an altar. So there's a mizbeach inside my heart. Lekarnei hoidai, to honor his glory. Ulener tomid, inside my heart, in the mishkan which I built in my heart, bilvavi mishkan, there's a ner there. Ulener tomid ekachli. So inside the neshama, there's a light which is being lit, es eish ho'akeda, the fire on the akeda which I'll burn in my heart. It's like as if I'm a walking beis hamikdash here. Ulekolban akriv loy, and in my heart, which is the mishkan with a mizbeach and a ner tomid, inside I will have a kolban akriv loy. And what's the kolban? Es nafshi hayechida, beautiful words, my unique soul. So as I talk to him, I'm bringing my, what's the kolban? The kolban is my nefesh, my being, the life which I am, who I am. That's the kolban. There's a mishkan, there's a mizbeach, there's a ner. It's all inside me. It's all inside me. And the kolban is my nefesh, which it is my, as we know, the nefesh has in it three parts. It has the ability to move, which is the nefesh, the ruach, which is the speech, and the neshama, which is the machshava, the thought. So I'm, in other words, all my life, my not my physical body, but my spiritual side, my speech, my thoughts, and everything which makes me my breath of life, that's my kolban. That's what I'm offering up as I say the words. So it's like I am a walking mishkan to me. A moshul, maybe, which might help you in plowing through the tefillah, which is the avodah, which sometimes you need a suggestion of how to have kavana. It's a moshul, but I hope it'll help you be eloquent when you daven, to say the words with a certain amount of grace and care when you say the words. There's somebody called a wine connoisseur. A wine connoisseur, they say, has such an expertise that if he puts the wine in his mouth and he swiddles it around in his mouth, it's incredible, but that's what they say, they're able to tell you where the wine comes from, where the grapes were grown, and they even can tell you who owns them, which vineyard it comes from, exactly where, and which year. It's an incredible skill. You put the wine in your mouth, they can taste the wine, and the wine, they can tell everything about the wine as you put it in your mouth. He swirls it around, and the year, the vintage, where the grapes come from, and who does it. It's an incredible ability, that, to taste it in your mouth. I think he spits it out. I don't think he drinks it, because the whole idea is not to drink, so they say. I don't know. Now, when a person davens, you need a little bit of a wine connoisseur. You have to taste the words in your mouth. You have to, like, mull them over in your mouth before you say them. Like, what is the word? Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu. That's Yaakov Avinu on his deathbed. No, when they turned Bol Shem Kavod Malchusai, was what Yaakov, they said Shema Yisrael, and the children, and he said Shema Bol Shem Kavod Malchusai. When you turn around and say a Perek Tehillim, it's David HaMelech talking. You need, if you really want to be articulate and you want to be eloquent and you want to get everything out of the words, you need to really think of where the words came from, where they grew, who said the words. It'll give a great deal of backing, of eloquence, of how you say them, if you can try that. You don't spit the words out, you swallow the words, you absorb the words. But maybe as a moshel it'll help you to be articulate, because you suddenly realize where these words come from. David HaMelech said these words, Moshe Rabbeinu said these words, Yaakov Avinu said these words. They're ancient words. But in order to become coherent and value them, a little bit like that moshel, it'll help you to taste the words as you're saying them. Finally, as a suggestion, as an etzah for kavana, maybe we'll have a look at halacha, which some people sometimes make a mistake about this, about the eyes. Where should you be looking when you're davening? This is a halacha, this is not an eitzah, but in Siman Tzadik Hei in Shulchan Aruch discusses a halacha of how you should stand and where your eyes should be. Says the Shulchan Aruch, Tzorich sheyokoif roishoy ma'at. When you're davening Shemoneh Esrei, the head should be bowed a little. Sheyihi yu einov lemato ha'oretz, that your eyes should be looking down. V'yachshav kiilu oimed b'beis hamikdash. We mentioned this last time. U'belibo yachavein lemalo, eyes down, you think like you're in the beis hamikdash, and in your heart you're thinking of libo v'ashamayim. Says the Chofetz Chaim in Mishnah Berurah. And those people, Hamagbim Roshehem Ve'enehem Lamalo. If when you're davening Shemoneh Esrei you stare around, you're looking around as you're davening, Kamabitim Alagag, like you're looking over as you're davening Shemoneh Esrei, Hamalochim Maligim Aleihem. Chofetz Chaim is a sefer halacha here. He doesn't usually bring down Divrei Musa like this, but he's putting it in to tell us that there's a certain scorn about people. When you're davening Shemoneh Esrei, if you look around, the malachim scorn at such people. The kosav hamibah gadon she'ein asoistunu mashuna. When one's davening, one shouldn't do like a ridiculous act, like moving around or a ridiculous shockle or biyochid rishus. You could, if you really want to move a great deal and you're davening and shockling wild, when you're by yourself, but not in a tzibur. You'll disturb other people. V'lo b'tzibur. If you're shockling, so people shockle, but not a crazy shockle, not an action which is wild and it causes distraction. Ubifrat lahorim koin, and a not to raise your voice. We've mentioned that already. Kosva achroinim, this is what I wanted to show you. Shekol mi she'eino oitzim eino b'shas ha'tfila. Anybody who doesn't close their eyes when they're davening Shemoneh Esrei, eino zoiche lirois p'nei shechina, is not zoiche to see the shechina when one dies. When one dies, but says a shechina after 120, one sees the shechina. That's only if you close your eyes. But then he says, "Ach, but however, im mispalel besidah, if you're looking inside the siddur when you're davening, ve'einav pekuches, and you're looking to see the words, less lomba. That's fine. That's not what we're talking about. So in other words, you have one alternative: either you close your eyes. Two alternatives: either you close your eyes and think, or you look in the siddur, but certainly not to look around. And of course, if one's staring around in the middle of Shemoneh Esrei, even if you're in a room by yourself, it's very distracting because you forget what you're saying and you're not there. Either the eyes are closed or you look in the siddur, but not more than that. There's no other way to look around or to stare out the window. He says actually what you should do if you want to look out the window, Chofetz Chaim brings down, Koidem sheyasre lispalel, before you begin Shemoneh Esrei, you stakel b'chalonos. You look outside the window. Why? It brings Kadesha Yiba Nichna. It brings Yas Shamayim. To stare out the windows before you start, that's a wonderful thing. But once you started, you don't look again. I'm often asked by different people, they ask me, it helps me have Kavona when I'm staring around and looking at nature and everything. It's not the way. You're not supposed to be staring and looking at nature when you're davening Shemoneh Esrei. Either the eyes are closed or looking in the siddur. Before you begin, that's why one of the reasons why a shul should have windows on it to... You see Shamayim, you see there. I have a friend who once went to Rav Shach, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, to ask him a shaila. And Rav Shach asked him, "Where do you learn?" So he said, "I learn in the mir." And Rav Shach, beautiful response, Rav Shach to a man says, "Oh, with those beautiful big windows." That's what Rav Shach said to him, "Those beautiful big windows in the mir yeshiva. Big windows, you see Yerushalayim." What, Rav Shach stared out the windows when he was davening, when he was learning? No, but it's ma'ayra. You look out the windows but not when you're davening Shemoneh Esrei. But the windows, he was ma'ayra him. First thing Rav Shach said to him, he said to him, "Oh, there's beautiful windows in the mir. You see Yerushalayim." So there should be a shul, place of tefillah should have windows. At least 12, they say. Helps you to have kavana, but not during Shemoneh Esrei. That's this section of helping you to be articulate, coherent and eloquent from the siddur, to say the words, open your mouth wide. If you knew and realized where the text came from with all the secrets, number B, it'll help a great deal. Where do the words begin? The words begin from the heart, not from the mind. They're much, much deeper. The source is the lave. This poem which I showed you shows you how the Beis HaMikdash is inside you, and your nefesh becomes the kolban. The moshel of the wine connoisseur should help you to taste the words. Think a minute before you say the words, where they come from and what they're behind them. And the eyes closed also to avoid distraction. The next point, which is a suggestion, it's not a halacha, but it's a suggestion. The Rambam brings down in Hilchos Deos, in Pei Vav, that derech shalodom liyos nimshach acha svivov. It's the way, the natural way of a person is to become influenced by his company. And therefore, the Rambam goes into great detail, be careful to mix with tzaddikim, because they influence you. Now, people might say, that's, I suppose, where you buy an apartment, your neighbors, you'll be influenced by the people where you live. But it's certainly relevant, I feel, also very much in davening. If you're in a place where people take davening seriously, automatically, you'll follow the crowd. And you can't say that you'll, I wrote down here, that except for a rov. A rov maybe who's trying to teach the people how to daven, that's maybe one aspect to it. Maybe he's trying to teach them, but otherwise, a shul is not a place for social meeting. We use it often for social meeting, but you should choose a place to daven where you know you'll be brought in with a strong minion, because it'll affect you. People are trying so hard to daven, the impact of those people create an impact of taking davening seriously. If people talk all the time, however much you're standing in the corner you're trying to daven, it'll affect your own davening. It won't help you at all. Isn't that really the first line of Tehillim? Ashrei Adam asher lo halach batzas uvederech tzadikim uvemoishav leitzim lo yoshav. Moishav leitzim. When people are talking in shul, you're trying your hardest to daven it, but it'll affect you. It rubs off on you. You can't say that it doesn't. And that effect, especially in tefillah, makes a great impression on you. Just one aspect, which is a fascinating idea. I don't know where it is in the Maharal, but a friend of mine told me that he saw it in the Maharal. That why is it that if you take, let's put it in our times, if you take a person who emigrated from Poland to go and live in America, so that person living in America, you can see he's a Pole, a Polish or a Swedish person. Now they have children, and the children who are really the children of immigrants are born in America. And the Maharal explains that those children will look American. Why? What the features? There may be the color of the skin or something doesn't change, but the features will become more American than Polish. Why? If the genes are Spanish or Swedish or Polish or wherever they come from, why is it when they walk? The Maharal explains, physical features come up from the ground as you walk. So in other words, if you have children in Yerushalayim, they'll look more Yerushalmi, because that's the land which they walk on. The Maharal says, comes up from the ground. The physical features of a person, there might be certain similarities, I suppose, to in some respects, but the features physically come up from the ground, said the Maharal, and that's the way you look, or the ground that you walk on. So kol shekein, and that's only in Gashmias, kol shekein in Ruchnias, how much the effect is from people who you mix with when you daven. If in physical terms it makes a point, so in spiritual terms, the people who you're with, they definitely affect you where you daven. So one should try and make sure they're in a companionship where it's good company. It's company where we can help you in the davening. These are all suggestions. Number five, another idea which might help you. I thought of this because I was once talking to somebody in London, and I remember he was telling me that in order for him to find a minion, he travelled a long way. I think it was an ovel, and a long way across town just to get a minion in the middle of the day. He made tremendous efforts. And then he told me that when he got there, you know, it's wonderful. The davening takes about 7 or 8 minutes, and he gets back on the train, he goes back again. So I remember thinking to myself, it shook me a little bit. What, you spend half an hour to travel to get to the minion, and the minion takes 5 or 7 minutes to daven mincha? I mean, there's an expression which they use here in Israel, im kvar, az kvar. Im kvar, if you're already davening, az kvar, so daven. Sometimes we make great efforts in order to daven, like you organize your day, you go to shul, or you mincha, especially in the middle of the day, or you stop your program. Im kvar, az kvar. So daven well. Often you find the effort maybe is even greater than the actual avodah of the tefillah itself, to go to a shul, to go to a minyan, to try. It's an expression. Maybe a chizuk will come on this from Reb Chaim Volozhin. In Nefesh HaChaim, Reb Chaim brings out in Shah Beis the following moshul, which explains the value of every single tefillah which we say every day. We are now in a matzav, in a situation of Unashama Foim Svasenu. Our tefillah is instead of the korbanos, but in Lemaisa, in eventually, when the time will come, Bimheva Biyameinu, we'll go back to korbanos. We'll go back to the korbanos. So Lechatchila, it's korbanos in the Beis HaMikdash. But in the meantime, says Reb Chaim, every tefillah that we say takes us closer to the situation of Geula. Every tefillah. Imagine you had a ball, and the ball was rolling from one end of the room to the other. So in order for the ball, it has to turn so many revolutions until it reaches the other side. It turns and turns and turns. Says Reb Chaim, so it is with every tefillah. One tefillah takes you closer, and every tefillah makes an impact until we arrive at Geula. That's one of the reasons why, if you ever miss out a davening, Mu'uvas la yuchal iskain, chisoren la yuchal himole, you can't make it up. You can make it up the next time with one tefillah, but it's not that tefillah. If you miss the shachris, we have a din that when it comes to mincha, you can daven mincha twice. But in reality, it's not shachris. It's two minchas. You have the ability of a hashlama to make up the tefillah that you lost only one before, the one before. Supposing you missed Ma'ariv, and the next you can't make it up the next Ma'ariv. You must make up Ma'ariv at Shachris, or Shachris at Mincha. But the tefillah that you daven at the next time round is not the one you missed. For example, let's give an example. Supposing you miss out Mincha on Erev Shabbos. You miss out Mincha on Erev Shabbos. The Shemoneh Esrei that you daven at Ma'ariv will be two Shabbos tefillahs, because it's Ma'ariv. You're not going to daven Mincha. It's an entirely different Shemoneh Esrei. But the one you missed was Mincha. The makeup one is called a Hashloma. It's a Nedova. We allow you to say another one. But in reality, it's gone. Why is it gone? Because the world is in a different situation now. It's an entirely different matzav now. We say the same words, but every single tefillah creates a shefa, a brocha in the world, to the world that it is at this specific time, and never again will it return to that situation. The world in each revolution is moving and moving and moving, and therefore yesterday when you said Shema Koleinu, tomorrow you're going to say, it's entire, the words are the same. But the enormous prophecy which was behind Anshei Knesset HaGdola, it's phenomenal. The prophecy is that thousands of years ago, when they said, you must say, Mechal Kel Chaim Bechesed, those words still work thousands of years later, but the world is in a different position. How can it be that if I say the words Mechal Kel Chaim Bechesed, which were composed 1,000 years ago, they'll be relevant and active for the situation and the needs of the world and me as an individual at the specific time, but they were written years ago? That's the Nevuah. That's what the Chofetz Chaim means when he said that there were several Nevi'im who were in there. What were the Nevi'im doing, therefore? They were prophesying with the Ruach HaKodesh that if a Yid, 1,000 years' time, davens these words at that time, a Mincha, on a Monday afternoon, Magid, they'll work for then, but they were written years ago. An incredible composition. They're active, and the world will move closer to its situation of Geula because of that tefillah which was said then. It's a phenomenal power behind it. So each tefillah moves you closer to the matzav of Geula, and one must never think to themselves, you know, well, this Spanish Mercedes didn't work, but the world's different after that. It's a different situation, and your needs are different, and everything changes in the world is different. The Nevuah is that the words will work despite and whatever situation is that you're in at the time. Incredible power behind the words. And therefore, that's really imkvar auskvar. Imkvar. If one is davening and taking the time to make something of it, to really put one's greatest efforts possibly into it. I'd like to end this with a moshul, which I heard from a brevda, which made a tremendous impression on me when I heard it. I don't know if it's such a moshul, I think perhaps it's quite realistic, but the moshul he gave of a child who was on a transport to one of the camps in Germany. And the train arrived at the concentration camp, and by some immense miracle, he managed to dodge under the train, and when the train left, he left with the train. He got out. He hid underneath, and he was out. And the train arrived somewhere else, and he escaped. He found himself at a dock, got off the train, jumped onto a boat, and found himself in Ellis Island. He arrives in America with many other immigrants. Goes through the port there, the port authority, comes out and finds himself on the east side. He's got no family, got nobody at all. No descendants, nobody at all. He's walking down Orchard Street, and a man on the other side of the road takes a look and says, "No, and where are you from?" He said, I have no idea where I come from. Days and weeks ago I came from a concentration camp. He said, "What?" And the man takes him back, and he looks after him, and he brings him up, and he feeds him, and he becomes a stepfather to this orphan, to this child. He has no family, he has nobody. And he brings him up, sends him to summer camps, sends him to school, makes him a bar mitzvah, sends him to yeshiva. He does everything possible. Finds him a shidduch. Comes to the time of his shidduch. And basically, it's an incredible event, because this child, who was really an orphan with nobody, has been looked after the last 15, 20 years by this kind benefactor. He now is under the chuppah. Just before after the chuppah, he goes through the chuppah, he turns around to his stepfather. He says, "You know, I've been thinking on such a day, goodness me, where I come from and what I've been through. I must say something to you. Thank you." So the man turns around to him and says, one minute, what? You can't say that." And he gets very agitated, and he takes a table, makes a whole dramatic exhibition in front of everybody. He says, one second. "Now, stand up on the table. If you want to say thank you, let me hear it. Let me hear it. You can't just say in two words, thank you. I never asked you ever to say thank you. But if you really want to express something to me, you have to say it better than just saying thank you. You have to say where I found you on Orchard Street, what I've done for you. You can't turn around and just say thank you in two words on a wedding day. It's much more than that." The moshel is extremely powerful. If we're standing in front of Borei Olam and we're going to express something that we really mean, we really feel that this is, you know, Poiseach es yodecho u'masbi'a l'chocha, if we're going to make an effort, it's an ozkvah, then we really have to make the greatest effort we have. Because all of us are really in that position of, if we're going to say something to Hashem for what we have, what we've been given, for the opportunities, for the good health, for the wealth, for the happiness, that's a little bit of like a pump of a gasoline to make it work a bit more. Im kvar, oz kvar. We're going to say, it's a point in Musa, but I think that's as a suggestion. Very often a person is tired when they daven, or they don't have the peace of mind in order to daven. But im kvar, oz kvar, to make something of it, to make the best that we possibly can of tefillah. As a suggestion, as when it gets tough, one needs to push a bit more in order to have kavana in the davening that we're saying. The last point in this shiur is really a point in halacha, but I hope it helps you have kavana. The last words, actually it's what we mentioned previously, of Shemoneh Esrei really end with one line. Shemoneh Esrei begins with Hashem Sefosai Tiftach, and it ends in the following way. When you come to the end of Shemoneh Esrei, you say the following, and then you take 3 steps back. You say the words, "Yihyu l'rotzon imrei fi, v'hegyon nibi l'fonecho." That sentence is a very powerful sentence in halacha. And when you get to that sentence, I'd like to read to you what the Chofetz Chaim writes in Mishnah Berurah about that sentence, the very end of Shemoneh Esrei. Kosav v'seida hayoim, yihyu l'rotzon humasugol lakama inyonim. It's a unique sentence, that sentence. It closes off everything that you've just said. Tchiloso yud. there are, it begins with a yud, the sofa yud, and it ends with a yud. Tevoisa yud, there are 10 words, the asara yudin, and there are 10 yuds in the sentence. The yeshboy mem base, here we are again, another one, 42 letters. The 42 here comes out. There are 42 letters in the sentence. The saidai, said godai. And the said in this sentence is very, very great. He doesn't tell you what it is. He just says, this sentence is a very, very powerful sentence. Yihiyu l'rotzon imreifi. Perhaps, I don't know, but perhaps he meant this. I saw in a sefer of Kadmonim, on the pasuk, "Ratzon yireyav yase v'es shavosom yishma v'yoshiyin," that right in front of the kisei hakovod is an area which is called the division of rotzon, ritzui, favor. That's the area where every tefillah has to enter in order to reach the kisei hakovod. It's called rotz. Ritzei Hashem, usehi l'rotzayin tomid avodas Yisrael amecha. Ritzayin, ritzui, is an expression of favor, that the word should find favor. Yehiyu l'rotzayin imrei fi, v'hegyon libi l'fonecha. Let the words that I'm saying have a ritzui, that they're appealing, they are acceptable in front of Hashem. And therefore, what's happening when you say this sentence? You've been spending for the last 5 minutes, 7 minutes, you've been saying many, many tefillahs, Shevach, Bakosha, Haidor. It's as if everything that's just been said is now being wrapped up, gift wrapped. Everything's being gift wrapped and lifted up. It's the end of your tefillah. Then you take Oysa Shon and Bimama a few steps back. If you have any Bakoshas which you're going to say, let me just finish off, you say it before this sentence, before Yehiyu L'rotzei. Let me read out what the Chofetz Chaim says. Lachain sarich la'oma benachas. Say it very carefully. Say it well, with kavona. Umoyel halbe, said the Chofetz Chaim. It helps tremendously the kabel tefilosai, that the tefillah that you've just said should be acceptable. V'lo yoshuv reikom. It won't go back empty. If you take great care over the last pasuk. Kosav achaye odom, says the Mishnah Berurah. It's correct for a person to daven every day what he needs, that the Torah should not leave his family or his children, his grandchildren. There are expressions of what a person daven for your family, daven for parnasa. There shouldn't be a psul in my mishpach, a person who goes off, never. And anything you want to say to Hashem, you should say it. When? There. Just before this sentence. Where you put your name. Many people say their name at the end of Shemani Esrei. There. After you said, or before you said the name, there you can say whatever you want. Suppose you don't know how to talk properly in tefillah. Then say it in any language. Say whatever you want. You can spend a half an hour there talking to Hashem. Rak sheyehe mikiros liboy. So long as you're saying it with kavona. The toiv yoseh, says the Chofetz Chaim, likboya tefilos al kolin yonim tzurichim loy. Whenever you have a private bakosha, acha shesiem kosher ben esrei, better to put it here, milakovon bibikas shomer tefilah. It's better, says the Chofetz Chaim, whenever you have any bakosha, not to put it in Shema Kaleinu, Shema Esrei, but to put them here, so that you can finish Shemani Esrei quickly, because as you know, if you have finished and then you say Yihyu L'rotzayin, even though you haven't yet said Elokai Neshama, you can answer Kaddish, Kedusha, Amen, Yehi Shmei Rabba there, but you might get caught because you're spending so long on Shema Koleinu, you won't have time to answer anything else. I asked a Shaila on this. I remember in Gates said one of the poskim there, and I've asked them, where's the best place to put bakoshas that you want to make? And I was always told, here, at the end. Don't put them in the middle of Shemana Esrei. Think your bakoshas during Shemana Esrei, before you might finish the end of the bracha, you'll think of a bakosha, but to add words in and to say extra bakoshas, it's better to put it here. Because you can talk for ages here. You can spend a half an hour if you want. And you can't speak, it doesn't matter. Now, if you're in the middle of the bracha, there's a whole siman in Shulchan Aruch, which you might ruin the bracha. If you ask a bakosha in the middle of Shema Koleinu, and it's not the way to ask it, and you spend too long, and you'd get distracted, you could end up by saying a bracha levatola, because you didn't end the bracha properly, and you spend too long over the bracha. There are halachas of adding things in the middle. We do add for a chayle, we do add Shema Koleinu has parnosa. There are specific tefillas which we say. But I'm talking about just when a person sometimes, I remember once, someone once told me they spend about half an hour over Shema Koleinu with all their list of bakoshas and everything. It could well be it's a bracha levatola, because you go so long and you lose the bracha, you're out of context, and you might say things which are not the way, because you can't ask for something which you don't really need. It shouldn't be a bakosha into the future. It's not kedai. And also, as a point of structure, nothing in the world is ever as more powerful as the nusach of Anshei Knesset HaGdola. Never. Never ever will you be able to compete with their words. So if a person wants to get Ikar and Tofel, the Ikar is the words of Shemone Esrei. These words are Kodesh Kodoshim. So you separate them. Those words are said with great kavana. Your words are bakosha, you put at the end. It's better to put them here. I remember I was taught, even if you're davening by yourself, put all bakoshas, and you'll look here in Simon Kuf Kaf Beis, in Shulchan Aruch, Simon Beis, and he talks about the Yihyu L'Rotzon wraps it all up. All these bakoshas that you've said, all these thoughts and ideas, you then say Yihyu L'Rotzon in Weifi, and the whole lot gets lifted up. That's the koyach of this pasuk at the end. The yuds, the 10 yuds, begins with the yud, ends with the yud, and the 42 letters, which is the Shem Havaya, which gives great kedusha to it, then lifts it up and it's brought up to Shemayim. That's the koyach of this pasuk, Yihyu L'Rotzon. These are ideas, six thoughts, which I thought, which might help you when the going gets tough. Number one, to snatch what you can. The bowl of apples. Take what you can. That's the most positive approach. Secondly, the pace and the commas, as best as you can. To be articulate, to be coherent, and say it clearly. The company that you keep was also a tremendous eitzah. If you daven with a wonderful minion where people take it, inevitably it'll rub it off on you. The effect will make an impression on you. Im kvar oz kvar, you're making such an impression, but I added in this vort of Reb Chaim Voloshin, where Reb Chaim explains that the whole world has to keep on turning, and therefore, even though you can make up a tefillah the next time around, it's not the same, because it's gone. The world has moved. Everything's changed. But everything moves on. It's the same nusach, same words, but everything changes in its situation. And finally, the last line, which should give, I hope, a great zilus and enthusiasm for everything that you said previously, and to put all your bakoshas here at the end of the Shemoneh Esrei. Okay, now we'll go on to questions. So, any questions from this year or previously? Yes.
You said last time that we talked about woman and time.
The woman?
Like women are not held by...
That's a shia by itself.
Oh, okay.
To go into the women of when what they should say and what you mean. Is that what you mean?
No, I'm just saying, like...
Women are not governed by time.
Right, so we can daven whenever we want. Right?
Well, you can't, no, but you can't daven, no. You can't daven shachris... After lechatchila, you should daven within 3 hours, 4 hours of the daylight hours. You should daven before the zman of tefillah, which
even though we're not daven.
Yes, I mean there's a shaila in halacha which is brought down in the Bir Halacha that if a person is an oines, then you can daven after the time of tefillah, which is 3 hours, which is the time of the Zman of Tefillah, which is written in the Luach, until Chatzos Hayoyim. But the words of the Bir Halacha are, if you're an Oines, you can daven after the time of Tefillah until midday, Chatzos Hayoyim. Mm-hmm. Now, Rav Eliashiv Shir Bari, who's the Poisik of the Dor, says that the word Oines means that you really are, something happened to you, not if you oversleep. I know Rav Shlomo Zalman didn't actually say like that. I used to say that an oines means if you oversleep, so you oversleep, you can daven until chatzais. But no, you really should daven before the zman of tefillah. Lechatchila. Even a woman. Lechatchila, you should daven Shemoneh Esrei before the time of the zman of tefillah. Soif zman tefillah. You'll see it in the luach there. Yes. Yes. You can start at Tzur Yisroel. Start at Tzur Yisroel when you take three steps back. Mm-hmm. but you should be finished already with the third step back to where you are by the time you say the word Goal Yisrael, not after. So Tzur Yisrael Kum HaBezras Yisrael Goaleinu Hashem Tzavok, because it doesn't matter, you come back wherever you come back, go 3 steps back, 3 steps forward, but they should be finished
before.
Correct. Any other questions at all? Yes.
When you're talking about the Hebrew song, you need the first, after the first Hebrew song, that's when you can ask for your...
No. I mean the second one. There are two printed in the Siddur. The first one is Asta Hamavoyches HaMaisa Vashalayim. I don't mean that one. We mean here the second one. The first Yehiyu L'Rotzayim, it's Machlokes, the Magen Avraham and the Gro, whether we say that or not, whether we're included or not. That's already a minhag. Some people have the custom not to say that Yehiyu L'Rotzayim, but only to say one where you put your name after Elokai. That's the one I'm referring to. If you're davening in Shul, and you have said Hamavoyches HaMaisa Vashalayim, and you find you can answer Kaddish or Kedusha, you say Yihiyu L'Rotzayim there, even though you haven't said Elokai yet, you say Yihiyu L'Rotzayim, and then you can answer Kodosh Kodosh, Baruch Kavod Hashem Mimkoymai, Yeheshmei Rabba Mavorach, you can answer, even though you're in the middle of Elokai. But if you didn't say that Pasuk, you can't answer anything. You have to wait for the second Yihiyu L'Rotzayim. What I was talking about Yihiyu L'Rotzayim, I mean the one just where at the end by Oseh Sholem. That's the one with where you put your pasuk or you put your name. That Yihiyu L'Rotzayim there is the one we're talking about. That
fact. Before Oseh Sholem.
Correct. Okay, we'll leave it there. Yes.
Yeah. First of all, I want to say thank you to Kvod HaRav for giving this year and the Mishkan. Lavi Mishkan Ebner,
beautiful.
That was by Rav Putner that wrote it.
It's Rav Putner, was it?
Rav Yitzchak Putner.
I thought it was Rav Putner. Okay. Yes, the Niggun is beautiful. Niggun.
I want to ask you. You mentioned last this year about the Gedolim. Some of the Gedolim that they daven very short.
Yes.
So maybe it's because Torah some and Munah some, and that's why they daven short. I don't know. They're not chayiv. Maybe it might be a side to that.
Nowadays we're not like Reb Shimon Bar Yochai. You mean because their Torosam was they were so kavu in the Torah. Usually we're not. Everybody now has a chayiv to daven. Okay. I think it's more because their power to be focused more. Okay. They're so focused. They're alert to what the words are saying. Rabbi Eliashiv Shiabari, he davens very fast. It's the focus. The I don't know if it's because of the Torah. I don't know that aspect. I thought next week, by the way, of starting maybe on a more daily aspect of like going through Al Natinas Yodayim, Asher Yotza, in Halacha, in Agadato, Bichasa Torah, maybe making a series of that for next week. We'll start maybe with Al Natinas Yodayim and go through from there. If I could just answer one question, maybe you can, if anybody has any points to help me out with. I make a trip to the States after after Purim, before Purim, around that time, and I visit different communities. If you have any suggestions of communities where I could visit, it would help me a great deal. If you have any places, I always need new places to go to, you know, you go this place or I travel around giving shiurim in different places in the States. So if you have any suggestions of locations, I would be very appreciative of it. You know, anyway, anybody might be interested in America. I go for about 2 weeks or so before Pesach. Okay, a gute Woche, kol tov.